Friday, May 27th, 2016. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sawatita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who just yesterday returned from London. That was the final leg of his vacation. I hope you were following the exploits of Bill and his wife Anne on his Facebook page. Another fascinating trip for a guy who has been to more than 100 countries. Bill came home, made a wonderful announcement. He is going to be inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame in August. Bill worked up in radio there in the 70s. Must have been pretty darn good because I still remember him. And if you remember, Bill was inducted just last year into the Arizona Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So lots to be proud of, and our congratulations to Bill Buckmaster. We have Tom Fairbanks running the show from inside the control booth. It's Friday, so our bumper's music is 60s and 70s rock. Last week, Tom humored me and let me play all Karen Carpenter. And I tell you, that wasn't easy.
It wasn't just Karen, her brother.
Richard. Yes. Yeah, the other Carpenter.
Right.
Yeah, so kind of like the other Beatle. So this week, we've agreed that it's going to be the Captain and Tennille. So,
and if you're here next Friday, we could go with Peaches and Herb.
Yeah, but I think they just had one hit, so it would be it would really not work with them. So,
all right.
So we're going to stick with Captain and Tennille today. The show is heard live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. right here on KVOI 10:30 a.m., and we are live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Let's acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners. They are TucsonSentinel.com. Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, Sawatita Sun, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and TucsonLifestyle.com. You can also find archives of past shows at BuckmasterShow.com. In today's first half hour, we'll be talking to Sarita Mayor Dwayne Bloomberg. Lots going on down there. That's where I live. And if you want to join the discussion, you are more than welcome. Call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That is 790-2040. Welcome, Mayor.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. Glad to be here.
Great to have you, as always. I love Sawatita. Been there 7 years, and it is home
Good.
Now. And it is heading in the right direction. Always been very pleased with how the council is run, and the fact that even during an awful downturn, things just they didn't sting quite as much down there. I think some good planning and good work by the council, and things are most certainly not perfect, but it's definitely was on the right track and got us through that.
Right. I think some good planning on the and conservatism on the part of former councils that's continued over has got us into that position.
But never lacking for looking toward the future, right. Sarita has been actually doing some work lately on branding itself. First of all, tell us a little bit about what it means to brand yourself, and then what has happened and what's going to happen in the future.
Okay. This is part of kind of a long process, and it has to do with economic development. The business activity in the town right now is concentrated largely on the retail and service sectors and on construction and construction-related activities. And that's fine, but that's not a recipe for sustaining the economy and having one that's less susceptible to the ups and downs of the economy. So we started by doing a so-called SWOT analysis from an economic development point of view, trying to figure out strengths and weaknesses and so forth in the town. And then we also tried to identify what new sectors of business would be appropriate for the town. How do we match up in this? And now we come to branding. Now, people think of branding as maybe a slogan or something or another like that, and that's part of it, but it's deeper. And these particular consultants that are working with us on that have tried to focus on the question, what is really unique about Sawatita? What can we make our image? And they point out that, for example, now I'm going to get the numbers wrong, so don't hold me to it, but I believe they reported that 4,000 cities and towns in the U.S. use the or some variant of "It's a wonderful place to live, work, and play."
Right,
which is sort of nondescript and doesn't say
tells
very
me nothing
much about
yeah.
it. Right, so they've tried to push us to talk about, and us, it's the council and the town staff and the citizens of the town, all of this stakeholders. What is really unique about Sarria? What can you hang your hat on? And that's not an easy question to answer. There are lots of good things, many good things about Sarria, but unique, that's a little bit tricky.
Well, what is unique about Sarria? What did you come up with? And I sat in on one of these groups, and there were about, I don't know, about 15 people there and all gathered around a table. We were just kind of kicking around ideas. But what was interesting is that some people brought up, well, you have Madera Canyon nearby. And they said, well, that's not what we want. You don't want to be able to see it from here. You want to be it.
Yes.
So what truly is unique about Sarria?
That's where I wish that we had annexed down yeah. Madera Canyon.
Problem solved.
That not being so. Dan, I've been stuck with trying to answer that. I know I have an idea what I would like it to be, but it's probably not there yet. I would like really for us to be, this phrase isn't quite right, but I'd like us to be the most business-friendly place, truly, in the country. I wish we had few regulations, only the necessary ones. We don't have a tax burden right now. We don't charge for business license and all of this kind of stuff. And I'd like to continue that and really see what we could do in that regard.
And then fitting into that, though, would be the plan to annex east of town. And
yes.
That's a big chunk of land right now.
Yes, it is. The current eastern town boundary is at the extension of Country Club Road, and we're looking at annexing all the way maybe down to Wilmot or even Houghton Road. It's mostly state trust land, which provides some difficulties because, quite rightly so, you have to be able to demonstrate that you have a real plan and about the utilities and infrastructure and all of this and some development planned and lined up. So it'll take us a while to do that. But since we're hemmed in on the other two directions, that's the way to go.
That's the only way to go. And so the branding survey was looking at, again, some of these questions about what people think and what people want to think, what they wish we were and, you know, what we are, I guess.
And I haven't seen the results.
Okay.
So I'm very curious to see what others said.
From what you were hearing, though, and I'm assuming that you were in some of these meetings also, do you think people in the know, which is basically, and I guess it was open to the public too, but
sure.
People who are kind of, you know, like you say, the stakeholders, do you think they're sizing up the town accurately, its strengths?
Probably so. What I think people don't correctly understand is the limited role of the town government in economic development. After all, we are not property owners, we're not developers, builders, real estate agents, and so forth. In fact, all the property we own has public buildings and streets and stuff on it. They say, why can't you bring and fill in the blank with your favorite restaurant or business want to come.
Well, you do have an economic development department.
Sure.
I mean,
the role of the town is mostly in the marketing concept. We can market the town. There are a lot of venues to do this with site selectors and with help from our partners. But the town isn't really, the government isn't the thing that's really going to attract. It's other businesses. It's the general climate. It's how we set things up.
And let me throw out a statement and you tell me if you would agree with this or not. If we were talking about Oro Valley and Marana, which both have been, to a certain degree, success stories, they are north of Tucson. We are south.
Yes.
When a lot of the development shots are being called out of Maricopa County and UCS way south of Tucson, is that a deterrent?
To a degree, yes. We have... I'm not going to name them, but we have several businesses in the Phoenix area interested in moving into this general area. But of course, the lure of being closer
right.
to their other operations
yes.
is big, which may mean, Dan, that for some purposes, we need to be looking to the south. We're the closest to Mexico.
Correct.
Of these places. And the Mexican people coming to shop and so forth in the U.S. and increasingly now to do business in the U.S. is huge. And we may be well positioned for that.
And we already see a little bit of that in Sahuarita with some Mexican officials actually living in the community.
Yes,
and exactly they see so. The value of it, and you're right. We are, half an hour from the border, maybe 40 minutes. So.
And the Sun Corridor, Inc., which is our regional economic development agency, their new strategy is to look at this direct foreign investment, Mexican investment in the U.S. and companies
right.
that do business in Mexico.
Okay, it is about 12:15, and we are going to take a short break. We will be right back with Sahuarita Mayor Duane Bloomberg. And here's a Captain and Tennille. Yes.
Patrice Ross with Oracle Ford. Now is the best time to buy a new Ford from Oracle Ford. We have recently slashed our prices on every new model in stock. Looking for a fuel-efficient car with luxury options like navigation? You can get up to $6,000 off MSRP on our new 15 Focus four-door hatchback Titanium. Or if you prefer, take $4,000 off MSRP and get 0% for 72 months. We have a good selection of Fusion and Escape models where you can get a minimum of $5,000 off MSRP or choose 0% for 72 months plus $3,500 off sticker. And at Oracle Ford, we will not ask you to pay for dealer ads, and we have no city sales tax. For the month of May, we are featuring the Focus, Fusion, and Escape. But remember, every model in stock has been reduced. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
If you're not happy, we're not happy. Happy cooling and heating.
This message is for the HVAC service experts out there. If you are a technician who believes in offering great service and a job well done with 100% satisfaction guarantee, can pass a background check and drug screen, has at least 3 years' experience, displays exceptional troubleshooting skills, have a great work ethic, wants to provide your family with a great income opportunity, enjoys working with an ethical company that has an excellent consumer satisfaction rating, then we have the opportunity for you. Offering a $2,500 signing bonus with year-round work, offering the industry's highest outstanding products and services, a lead position and possible management advancement for top candidates, immediate opening for the right applicant, must contact us at 520-389-6969 or fax resume to 520-207-6043. That's Happy Cooling and Heating. I'm JD. Have a great day.
This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 16 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages or go to the website TravelSmartTUS.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. I am here with Sarita Mayor Dwayne Bloomberg, and we are listening to the Captain and Tennille as they take us in and out of the breaks. Great duo from the 70s, I guess, maybe a little bit in the 80s. So got a little bit of them on my iPod, actually. So, Mayor, we were discussing branding of the town of Sarita. We have been undergoing a process here, and we're kind of right in the middle of it. And I want you to give me a little bit of what you're after, and then what are the next steps? What happens next here?
Okay. What we're after is ideas about branding, what we need to be known for, and also how to do the marketing. And that's what I expect that we will hear. And by the way, on the third of June, and I've forgotten the times, but it's on the town's website, the company is going to come and make a public presentation about this process and what they're doing and so forth. So everyone's invited.
Okay, so next steps for the town of Sarita. And again, it's always interesting to see what people think about the place where they live and the potential for it. And I guess we're going to see that. And then I guess it's up to you and the council to actually do something with that information.
Right.
So exactly. Let's talk about Interstate 11, and okay. that is not a, did not misspeak there. Public comment's going to begin soon on it. What is it, and how is it really going to affect us here south of Tucson?
Okay, the planned Interstate 11 was started as a connector between Phoenix and Las Vegas, which are the two largest cities that are not connected by an interstate, but also looking at continuing to the south into Mexico, and also looking at so-called Canamex corridor, looking going up towards Canada. So, and as far as where we are, the highway has been recognized by Congress in its transportation plans, but of course there's no money at the moment to build such a thing.
Right.
But we're planning on routes. And Congress has decided that from Wickenburg up, the route should be that of the current highway.
Correct.
Now, the question is, how do you get from Wickenburg to Mexico? So the first stage of this study was, where in Mexico should this go? And they looked at going to Yuma and going to Douglas and so forth. But for people here who know all of this, Nogales is really the place to go, the trading center, the railroad crossing, and so forth. And yes, indeed, it's been decided that this should come to Nogales as the terminus here in the U.S. Now the question is about where does this road run? And that's what's beginning. And to study this, imagine a swath. It starts in Wickenburg. It's 280 miles long. It ends up in Nogales. Some places it's 50 miles wide. Others it's 5 miles wide. And that is the study area. And the question is, where in there should the road go? Now, it starts out in the swath, starts out in Wickenburg. It runs to the west of Phoenix, and it comes back and slides back to the east, and kind of the current I-10 gets in this swath at about Eloy, somewhere in there. And then you have a big swath coming on down and I-19 and so forth. So they're getting ready to undertake a 2 or 3 year study of where best would be to put the road in there.
And so at some point, is it anticipated, and I know we don't know, that it's going to connect into I-19?
We don't know, but that's a number of people are thinking that way.
Okay, just would make sense.
And, yeah, and of course there have been proposals to use I-10 and I-19 and maybe double-deck them or
right.
widen them. I think all of that's very speculative.
Okay, so maybe not in our lifetime.
Well, you maybe, but I'm not expecting to see it.
You probably won't have to deal with it on an agenda anytime soon,
right.
Other than the public comment. Okay, we're going to go to the phone,
okay.
And we have got Matthew on the line, and he's got a question about Sarita. Hello, Matthew.
Hi. You know, I was listening to the mayor, and I'll preface this by saying I am no expert on Sarita, but out of the box, I was at the ACA meeting with the governor when he came to Tucson just a couple days ago. And, you know, the people around the table were Raytheon a lot of Phoenix people. But, you know, when I think of Sarita for branding purposes, you know, I don't disagree with him wanting to do the business, but business is very generic, very open-ended. I would focus it more on technology because I would really like to see some sort of technology crafted with maybe the I-11 concept. And I don't know how he would do that, but that's my gist on that. The second thing, if he wants to differentiate Sarita, the second thing is for governance, and again, I'm not an expert, this is my question to the mayor, have you ever thought of consolidating some of Green Valley and consolidating governance? You guys are two communities that are sort of near each other. Just curious if you guys have ever talked.
Okay. Thank you much, Matthew. So he's hitting on a hot button issue, but first let's hit the technology part, which let's also throw in aerospace.
Sure.
Plans for that annexed area or that new area,
okay.
Sarita.
Aerospace and defense, that general area, is one of the six areas that we have chosen to focus on. And there are some things that are happening. For example, the movement of Hughes Access Road down south and the new Aerospace and Defense Park that will go in there will bring stuff to our area. We've got some other technologies. Hydronautics Company is located in Sarita, and that's a big tech company. So, yes, but we have to make sure we can have a match with the backgrounds and experiences and education and so forth of the people who live there, because after all, one of the big factors, if not the biggest, in a company's location somewhere is there a workforce? Can you find the people that you need?
Absolutely.
Or bring them in to do it?
Absolutely. So the next part, I'll ask in a different way.
Okay.
Why don't we annex Green Valley?
Okay. Good question. Yes, we have thought of it. However, the history with Green Valley would seem to indicate that that's not going to be very likely. Green Valley, I think, and help me here, Dan, has had four votes having to do with incorporation, and they failed pretty miserably. each time.
They come close to rioting. Yeah.
Yes. And so I'm not seeing that in the near future. And really, the demographic, these two communities are absolutely interrelated and are a single economic unit and all of that. But the demographics are so very different in these two communities, I don't think that's going to work out.
Okay, and they do butt up against each other, but I would agree that that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But they are reliant on each other for things like retail. I mean, if you're a small business, you can't make it in Sarita if you don't have buy-in from Green Valley.
Right.
They're willing to
exactly.
do that. So, okay, well, we're going to have to wind it up here. I want to thank Sarita Mayor Dwayne Bloomberg for joining me. It is always great to have you.
Well, indeed. I like being here. Thank you.
Okay, after our break, we're going to be joined by Bill Westcott, who is going to tell us about a huge undertaking he's leading on the campus of the University of Arizona. Then we will have our journalist roundtable where I will be joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We will be right back, and here is Tony Tennille in her prime.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right in the evening. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam, do the jitterbug at it. Muskrat land and he shimmy. Sam is so skinny.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Now to be among you at the calling of your hearts, rest assured this troubadour is acting.
A little more Captain and Tennille, the wedding song, which I guess maybe it's a little sad to mention that I think they divorced in the last year, so I guess love didn't keep them together. So, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. In December, we will mark the 75th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. I'm joined now by Bill Westcott, who has a personal connection to the event and who is leading a project on the campus of the University of Arizona that will honor the men who died there. Welcome, Bill.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. The U of A has several connections already to the USS Arizona, which went down at Pearl Harbor, but what you're undertaking is really special. Tell us about the USS Arizona Mall Memorial.
Well, what's going to happen this year is we're going to have the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And, of course, the iconic event of that was the blowing up of the USS Arizona, which took the lives of nearly half the people killed on that day. 1,177 Marines and sailors were killed in that one event. To memorialize that at the University of Arizona, what we're going to do is put a full-scale outline of the deck of the USS Arizona, which will stretch from the eastern steps of Old Main down to the Desert Garden, exactly the same size as the ship itself. And it will be a ribbon of concrete outlined with medallions every 12 inches for each sailor and Marine killed on that day.
That's absolutely incredible. So how did this whole thing come about? And better question, what's it going to cost and how can people get involved?
Great. Well, the first thing I want you to do, if you're listening, is to get the website. It's called the USS Arizona Mall Memorial. And if you add .org, you've got it. So what I want you to do is go to USS Arizona MallMemorial.org and look at the video and some of the other things that we've attached to the page. It'll show you a little bit about how we're constructing it and what we're doing.
Okay, so we're talking a ribbon of concrete, not a curb. You're not going to have to step over it, but then these medallions will be flush with that, and it makes the exact outline of the USS Arizona, which, as I recall, was about 600 feet long, just shy of that, and it fits perfectly in that mall area. It's really stunning, actually.
funny that you say that, because one of the big considerations is somebody going to trip over this. Right. And no, it'll be flush with the ground, with the grass inside the curb. And basically, you won't really notice it unless you're walking across that mall. And the thing here is that the majority of the students that are walking across that mall, the 40,000 some odd students, are between the ages of 17 and 22. And what we would like to happen is create a raised awareness around the age of the people that have to go fight war. And clearly, World War II put the iPhone in the hands of these kids and put the modern American society and the necessity to go to college into their world. And so we feel it's important for them to look back. This was an amazing event in American history, probably the most amazing event. And we want the students, from a historic and academic point of view, to start to appreciate it more than they may now.
And these students, ages 17 to 21, 22, are the same age as most of these men who died there that day. And I am correct in saying it was all men, the 1,177.
Yes. We want to be, we know that we have midshipmen and women who are serving in ROTC programs at the University of Arizona. It's just a fluke of nature that at that time there were very few women serving on American naval vessels.
Well, all Americans, as you said. Give us the website one more time, and I'm going to ask you one personal question.
USS Arizona Mall Memorial. org.
Okay, and I have seen the video on there, and it is extraordinarily well done, and it tells you exactly what this thing is going to look like. It's really terrific work. It's really doesn't cost a whole lot, but you've been gathering money. It's been going real well. People can donate on the site. Are you willing to take a stab at, in the end, what's it all going to cost?
I think in the end, to get everything in the ground is going to be range between $150,000 and $200,000, and you can donate right from the site, USS Arizona Mall Memorial.org.
And then your personal connection is that you have a relative who will have a medallion there.
That is true. My name will be on the mall. It'll be one of the most exciting things. My father's brother, my dad was 15 when the ship blew up. And he enlisted the next day. Well, it was Sunday. It was on a Monday he enlisted. He stayed in the service until 1947 and wound up in the Lady Gulf bagging the dead and shooting down Jap Zeros on a day-to-day basis. He did that throughout the entire period of the war.
Okay, very good. This is Bill Westcott. You can find out more information at that website, the USS Arizona Mall Memorial at the University of Arizona. Quite a project, quite appropriate. When do you hope to get it in the ground? Obviously before the 75th anniversary later this year.
Yes, we hope to donate the memorial at the University of Arizona concurrently with the celebration that's going to be going on in Honolulu. I will be there with the survivors. So our hope is that we will have some sort of video connection to link the two and put Tucson on the map on December 7th.
Okay, looks like, Bill, if we can take a quick question about this. We've got Robert on the line. Robert, what is your question?
Hey, describe exactly what you're sinking in the ground. Are they flush with the ground? And if so, what are their dimensions and what will they be made of?
Okay, how big are these medallions? Thank you, Robert. How big are these medallions? And they are flush in the ground, so there's nothing going to be sticking up that anybody's going to be tripping over. But how big are they?
Well, we're going to pour a footer around the inside of the curb that holds the mall in. It will take a concrete casting that will be flush with the grass, and every foot there will be a 3-inch brass, navy brass medallion.
Okay, so every foot, a 3-inch medallion. So our guest has been Bill Westcott. You can learn more about this project. It is terrific and just exactly the right place for it, too. So, Bill, thank you for coming by.
Dan, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Okay, we're going to slide into our weekly journalist roundtable. I have joining us Dylan Smith. He is the publisher and the editor of TucsonSentinel.com. Welcome, Dylan.
Always a pleasure. And that was a very appropriate interview heading into Memorial Day.
Yeah, we found out about this project a few weeks ago, and it is just terrific and kind of a great deal for the University of Arizona. And again, they already have several things on campus.
The Ship's Bell.
Correct. Just among others. And so what an appropriate place for this. And I love the fact that the names are going to be on these medallions, and students are the same age as a lot of these people.
Indeed. And there will be some resources to connect those names with more information on the website, and so that people can not just note all the medallions that are there, but while they're looking at them and absorbing the sort of enormity of just even that single event, they can learn more about it.
Exactly. And now 75 years into it, which is what we'll be marking in December, I, particularly down in Green Valley, are seeing fewer and fewer of the men and women who were there that day are alive. And so they're getting older, and this is just one more way to make sure that we don't forget what happened, what their sacrifice was, the entire country, of course, jumping in after this. And we can hear from Bill, you know, his dad joins the military at 15. And as he was telling us off the air, you know, they kind of had you on a junior cruise until you either hit 18 or looked like you hit 18. And I have a feeling a whole lot of that was going on back then.
Indeed, there were so many people. They were overwhelmed. I mean, really, that's you know, the part of the reason that they instituted such a complex draft system was because there were too many people trying to volunteer instantly, and they couldn't even deal with it.
Yeah, as we call that, it's a good problem to have. So, we have got probably about 5 minutes here for the journalist roundtable, and it's just you and me today. But I do want to get any sort of updates on this Timothy DeHarlis story going on. But before that, we are going to cut to the phones because we've got somebody, Bren, on the line with a World War II memory. Bren, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, give it to us.
My grandfather was captain of the USS Gambier Bay, and he was actually engaged with the Japanese in October of 44. Unfortunately, his ship was sunk, and he was afloat for 3 days until they rescued him.
Wow.
But I just wanted to tie that in. I heard you say that your uncle was seen action and they take gold.
Yeah, this is our guest, Bill Westcott, his uncle. And then his father was then went in when he was 15 years old to serve. So we have some incredible stories. We have had the privilege down in Green Valley, which is a retirement community, and I know you are calling, I think, from Cottonwood, north of Phoenix, but we have had the privilege of telling a lot of the stories from World War II firsthand, talking to the men and women who were there. And again, fewer and fewer of them, but we've managed to capture a lot of the stories.
I'm actually in Tucson. I don't know why it keeps saying Cottonwood.
Okay. Hey, I thought, we're reaching. Yeah.
I was actually part of the committee where we had reunions with the survivors. And yes, unfortunately, there's too few left to grace our presence. But those that are just heroes in my eyes.
I agree, and they stepped up at an extraordinary time in history and did some extraordinary things, and then they came back, and Bill reminded us that they then started helping build the country toward what we have today as far as a lot of the technology goes and higher education and whatever. A lot of them got out of that war effort and did some great things. I appreciate you calling.
And none of them needed safe spaces.
There we go. So.
Okay. Thank you again for taking my call. I'll let you have someone else to talk to.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks. Okay, Dylan, let's get the brief update here.
So you want the quick rundown of what we know more? We talked last week about the situation with the purported news website, the Arizona Daily Herald, which has been in some ways linked to an aide for Supervisor Allie Miller. What do we know more this week than what we knew last week?
Right.
Not very much.
Well, I think the
we know that there have been a lot of claims and counterclaims. And some finger pointing and some complete misinformation thrown into the mix. And there's a reason we haven't published a running update of all this stuff, because we really want to sort down and, you know, get down into what the facts are. We've made public records requests of Allie Miller in her office and to try and see what may or may not have been going on there. And she is slow walking those. A week and a half later, we have yet to see anything responsive to any of those. We've got some other requests into other county offices to see what they may or may not know about it. We have been told that at some point there will be a government investigation of this. Allie Miller and her aides say that they filed some paperwork with the FBI about this. The local FBI folks don't know anything about that.
I was just going to ask you that. Can we confirm that? Because at one point, Timothy DeHarlis was holding up a sheet of paper. Do we know what was on that?
Well, they say that they filed it. There's an FBI website where people can file complaints about cybercrime allegations. Okay. And that goes to D.C. and probably just disappears into a complete morass of
right.
stuff there.
Okay.
But the county may itself look into this either through the Pima County Sheriff's Department, or if the sheriff doesn't think that there is anything that amounts to any criminal allegation that he should be looking into. If none of those criminal things are investigations are ongoing, the county is saying that they will do an internal administrative investigation to try and figure out if there has been any misuse of any county property or facilities in all of this stuff that's been going on.
Well, and I do appreciate your approach to this story, because you're right. There has been an awful lot back and forth, particularly through social media, and that means people probably are not thinking before they hit the button, and it's really not worth reporting. We want the facts, and I think the big question is, if indeed he did make up this website and he was working on county time to
do— You're talking about the aide. Yes.
The aide, yeah. Then did Allie Miller know about any of this? And I think that's kind of the big question.
That's another big question. And, you know, they pointed the finger at somebody who denies having any knowledge to any of this before he was blamed for it. So what may or may not be going on here? Perhaps it was Allie Miller's aide, and a whole lot of connections have been made that point to that as a very distinct possibility. Perhaps it was an outsider trying to create some chaos and have this person be blamed for it. It could be something completely different.
And we know that.
And we don't really know yet. What we are working on is a really detailed timeline of all of the things that we know to be true, and some of the claims that are out there that bear on the developments that we've learned about. And we'll see what happens. We still have to figure out where this goes. It would be really helpful if those public records, which are supposed to be available to anybody who walks in and asks for them, were turned over. We could see, you can't really ever prove a negative, but it would go a long way to showing whether there is any connection to any governmental office or not.
All right. Other than a very odd inch deep TV report on this, has anybody but you talked to Timothy DeHarlis?
I'm not aware that anybody else has interviewed him. That's one of the interesting things about this was pretty much immediately after I interviewed Allie Miller aide on the Tuesday,
yes.
Almost 2 weeks ago now, when all of this started, being discussed. All this stuff vanished from online, including the Arizona Daily Herald website, tweets that were posted on the Twitter account that was the Arizona Daily Herald Twitter account, and personal sites that I had that he acknowledged were his that I had talked with him about. All started as soon as we hung up the phone. Started vanishing from the internet.
Exactly, and I think that time frame, and to me, the word smoking gun is probably not fair here, but I'm going to use it anyway. The smoking gun is that immediately after your interview with him, all this stuff starts vanishing, and if he had nothing to do with it, why did it all start vanishing?
Well, he said, and the link we know that exists is that a photograph was taken during a Board of Supervisors meeting, and it ended up posted on the Facebook page of the Arizona Daily Herald. The aide says that he sent it to a friend. He told that to me during our interview. He repeatedly said that he wasn't going to tell me who that person was. So
okay.
Is the friend he himself, or did, as yeah. soon as we had that interview, did he call the friend or text the friend to tell him to make all this stuff go away?
Right.
It's a possibility.
Okay.
There are a million possibilities. But if there is a friend and if there is a connection, a pretty quick glance at his phone would show that to be the case, that the photograph was sent, that phone call or text that evening was made. We could tell. They have not. Allie Miller has, not responded to any of our requests for, to talk about this. And,
we really don't know what's going on, and it would be nice to know, because something very weird has happened in Pima County politics.
Definitely. So you can read the current story at TucsonSentinel.com, and you can read updates, which hopefully will be coming soon if the county can get on top of those public records, at TucsonSentinel.com also. So we are going to go ahead and slide into our break, and then when we get back, Matt Russell is going to tell us how we can spend a great weekend on Weekend Watch. And here, coming soon, the Captain and Tennille. None like him.
Keep a song of joy inside your heart. And even though the time has come for us to part, we'll be together soon and time will fly.
Hello, I'm Patrice Ross with Oracle Ford. Now is the best time to buy a new Ford from Oracle Ford. We have recently slashed our prices on every new model in stock. Looking for a fuel-efficient car with luxury options like navigation? You can get up to $6,000 off MSRP on our new 15 Focus four-door hatchback Titanium. Or if you prefer, take $4,000 off MSRP and get 0% for 72 months. We have a good selection of Fusion and Escape models where you can get a minimum of $5,000 off MSRP or choose 0% for 72 months plus $3,500 off sticker. And at Oracle Ford, we will not ask you to pay for dealer ads, and we have no city sales tax. For the month of May, we are featuring the Focus, Fusion, and Escape. But remember, every model in stock has been reduced. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
If you're not happy, we're not happy. Happy cooling and heating.
This message is for the HVAC service experts out there. If you are a technician who believes in offering great service and a job well done with 100% satisfaction guarantee, can pass a background check and drug screen, has at least 3 years' experience, displays exceptional troubleshooting skills, have a great work ethic, wants to provide your family with a great income opportunity, enjoys working with an ethical company that has an excellent consumer satisfaction rating, then we have the opportunity for you. Offering a $2,500 signing bonus with year-round work, offering the industry's highest outstanding products and services, a lead position and possible management advancement for top candidates, immediate opening for the right applicant. Must contact us at 520-389-6969 or fax resume to 520-207-6043. That's Happy Cooling and Heating. I'm JD. Have a great day.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying nonstop to 16 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This portion of the show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend is the 21st Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay like Georgetown Cabins and Gila Hot Springs Ranch, visit southwestnewmexico.org. This is Weekend Watch, Matt, and you got about 30 seconds.
All right, well, you know what? 30 seconds is happy hour is all we have to talk about.
All right.
Temperatures in the 80s, a great patio, al fresco happy hour, Forma in St. Philip's Plaza. I love their sangria blanca with their duck confit flautas. It's like a snapshot of Central Mexico, Dan. And you fret not, happy hour is almost here. Reforma is my happy hour pick for this week.
Thank you much, Matt. We really appreciate it. Sorry to cut you short.
Cheers, Dan.
Okay, Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, I wish you a terrific weekend. I'm Dan Scheer.
This is Michael Medved.